Isn't this one of the great classic songs recorded by so many people of all time? Take a listen. Give your hand to me, Ray Charles.
And then you say hello, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell. You think you know me well, but you don't know me.
Great Ray Charles hit, also a hit for Eddie Arnold. And songs like that, the very best, hard to come by. And turns out one of the greatest songwriters of all times from Texas, she's been gone several years now, Cindy Walker, a name you may or may not have heard, but why you should know, why her history is important and being preserved by a woman here named Lindsay Lipman. Now, if that name's familiar to you, it should be. She's a big Central Texas television personality and also putting together a documentary and some other things on Cindy Walker right now. But she's also working here at the Coke FM. Have you heard her on the weekends yet? And I think you did some other fill-in in the last week or so, haven't you?
She works with Scotty Bennett at night for a while as well.
That's right. Scotty discovered her, and she's the star of many of the Cryo Curves. How you like that Cryo Curves? I hear good things.
Well, I don't know. I think they need to do a little bit more on me because I still jiggle when I walk just a little bit. But yeah.
looks good to Eric and me.
Well, thank you guys.
You brought your husband, so I was holding on.
He's my fiance, so it's not official yet. So they're still
close enough. Kyle's close enough.
You're still auditioning, right?
Hey, there's still a little bit of time. That's right. Well, you gave me such a lovely introduction.
Well, it's all true. It wasn't good enough, actually.
Well, you know, this Cindy Walker project is near and dear to my heart. And when I kind of retired from the news, so to speak, I turned my attention to telling her story because I'm from Mahia, Texas. And so it's something that her story needs to be told. Nobody's getting any younger. And that was really the catalyst for me wanting to do the documentary. But then as things often do, it turned into much more than that when I saw the condition of her home. And she lived in Mahia, Texas for almost her entire
Right to the end, did she?
Right, yeah. She lived there. When she moved back from Hollywood, she moved straight back to Mahia and lived there for over 50 years. And that home that she lived in, you know, when she passed away, which, by the way, today is 16 years ago today that she passed away.
Today's the anniversary.
It's the anniversary, and it's also Women's History Month, which is why we're kind of trying to push her story out there a little bit more. But when she died, she gave it to her housekeeper. Well, when her housekeeper died, it went to her brother, and he has not been able to maintain it. And I just thought I was going to put together a nice piece on Cindy Walker and interview people, you know, who in the business and in Mahia who knew her. Well, it's turned into much more than that because I saw the condition of the home, and it was devastating. I thought, no. We can't do this, not as someone who's from Mahia, not as a female in the industry, and not as a Texan. I mean, we can't.
So you're honoring her, doing right by her, taking care of her family.
Right, trying to do the right thing. Now, she has two surviving nieces. She never had any kids. She has one niece who lives here in Austin now and one niece in Plano. They really had no idea of the condition of the home, of how it had deteriorated, and even her furniture is still inside. When we pulled up, the front door was wide open. It's falling apart. The roof needs to be replaced. It needs foundation repair. But more than anything, it needs to be turned into a Texas State Historical Site. If you go to Mahia, which, you know, not a lot of people have that as a destination.
For folks that are new to the state, let alone around here, it's the one you see spelled M-E-X-I-A.
Right.
So you might have thought it was Mexia.
Yeah, it gives you a little street cred if you know how to pronounce it. And we have another famous blonde who's from our town. But
Who's that?
Anna
Nicole Smith
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was another documentary film team in town recently to do a documentary on her. But we'd much rather our claim to fame be Cindy Walker. But, you know, shame on us if we don't actually pass on that legacy. I was interviewing Jamie Lynn Wilson for the documentary, and you know, we really can't think of another female songwriter. I mean, for what she did, it can't be understated. She literally, as a teenager, was writing these songs, you know, pitched herself to Bing Crosby, and then had this wonderful career and decided to focus solely on the songwriting. And Bob Wills would call her up, you know, out at a truck stop. Hey, Cindy, I got this song idea. And she'd let it cook. And then a few weeks later, you know, she'd come up with something. And so she was a powerhouse female in the industry.
Yeah. What I remember about Cindy, because she was one of the fairly early inductees into the Texas Heritage Songwriters Hall of Fame here in Austin, because of her amazing work, which we'll start defining here in just a moment. But what I remember is that she was an unusual songwriter in that many of the songs she wrote, she was writing like this is a song I'm going to have Eddie Arnold sing, you know, or Eddie wants me to. Most songwriters, they write a good song and then say, boy, I hope I can get George Strait to sing this or something. She actually, in most cases, wrote for that singer.
Yeah, and that really is kind of like she would be able to say, well, you know, so-and-so's hot on the charts right now, and I want to write a song specifically for them. And, you know, a lot of times...
Even if they didn't know it.
Right, and she'd pitch it to them, and they'd say, you know, actually, I love that. That's a great song. And so, really, she had so much respect from her peers because she was able to do that and kind of... You know, when she wrote Bubbles in My Beer, she had never drank beer before, you know.
Is that right?
Well, she's a very religious person. I'm not to say, you know, not to say she never drank, but she was very religious, very involved in the church there. And the
in her day, she was stunningly model-like beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And still beautiful. Beautiful the entire time, but was respected because of her ability.
Way, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, she was beautiful the entire time. You know, she had star quality. And just last week, I went and interviewed her niece, Jerry, here in Austin. And she showed me some pictures I hadn't seen yet. And there was a picture, and I believe it was Loretta Lynn was sitting right next to her. And it probably was like a BMI affair, you know, like an industry luncheon. But it was Cindy that your eye went to, that you focused on Cindy, because she did have that star quality, that glow about her.
Well, the names in the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville are all recognizable. For some folks, a few of them might not be, including Cindy Walker, which makes your project even more important here. But she is in the Country Music Hall of Fame as well, and has been since 1997. And the Texas Heritage Songwriters Hall of Fame, as I mentioned, was back in 2011. Her accomplishments are not small. How far along is Lindsay Lippman, our guest, how far along is the documentary?
We've interviewed about half a dozen people so far. We're not just telling her story, we're also documenting the process of purchasing and restoring the home, which is really where this story took
a turn. So you have
a
foundation for that.
Right. Her family, I tracked her family down, when I let them know what was going on, I said, well, what do we do now? And I broke the first rule of journalism, which is don't get involved in the story. But I couldn't.
Doesn't sound like you are at all.
Right. I had to do the right thing, not just as, you know, a storyteller. I couldn't let the home just sit there, and because it's on the verge of being condemned. It's also on the verge of tax foreclosure. And the issue with that is, yeah, we could get it on the auction steps, but that could be a year from now. And that home
could not only be
right
the preserved and designated historically, as you suggested, but do you have any designs on maybe that being the official museum?
Well, exactly. And we already have, you know, her piano and her mother, Ori's piano, have been donated to the foundation. We'll be getting those pianos restored, and they'll be in the home. Cindy, you know, I've talked with her family. We would love to have music lessons for kids in the home, not just like a museum. We don't want it to be a stuffy place where people just kind of walk around and don't.
Got to make it interactive.
Exactly. Yeah. But would love for it to be a real gem for the city of Mahia and the state of Texas as well. We certainly can't let that history just crumble, but it is in danger of doing that. And so we did set up a fund so that people, through the foundation, so that people can give if they care about this. And you know, there's a lot of talk right now in the industry about females and diversity and this and that. And this is a person that went out there and didn't care about the fact that she was a woman in the business. She did what she did because she was incredibly gifted to do it. But I think it takes the next generation to make sure that stories like hers don't just kind kind of,
you know, I'm thinking about it. Great female songwriters until recently. I can think of the husband and wife team, Felice and Bordalo Bryant, right? Wrote a lot of songs for the Everly Brothers and folks like that. And then there was, well, God love her, Mayborn Axton, Hoyt Axton's mama. She wrote Heartbreak Hotel. The number of female songwriters from that era, and she's born in 1918, there weren't very many.
Right. I mean, we were thinking maybe Patsy Montana. You know, I don't know, but
I just remember her more as a performer. She was a writer as well.
Right. Well, and it's just unusual, I guess. A lot of people keep saying to me, "Well, why do you care so much? Like you're 40 years old. That wasn't exactly the music that you grew up to." But you know, somebody's got to do this, and nobody's been stepping up. We've got great support on the project. You know, we've got folks like Ray Benson, Leroy Parnell, who, by the way, was a family friend. He had some fascinating stories to tell us about Cindy Walker. But somebody's got to do this. Somebody's got to care. And once we are able to purchase the home, then we'll be able to tap into those Texas preservation funds and all of those things. But this is, we're literally at step one on the owning of the home process.
And about what step you think you are so far on the documentary?
I mean, we've probably filmed about 25% of it. We've got to go up and spend a week or two in Nashville and get quite a few folks up there, as well as, you know, the leaders in the industry right now that are female who've been inspired by her. Just the other day, in fact, and, you know, Cindy's still relevant as ever. Just the other day, Amanda Shires, Jason Isbell's wife, made a big post about how Cindy influenced her songwriting as well, and some personal conversations that they had had. So she's very well respected and known within the music community, but I think her story needs to be told to the greater public.
And you felt the calling to do it, and especially on this anniversary date, having you here is really important, because I like you, but and nowhere near like you, I guess, but in that same vein, I want folks to know who Cindy Walker was and the songs they know, for instance, that she's the reason that that you know that song and like that song, and they've lasted all these years. Now, before we break, the documentary, you were kind of sent us a bit of a video. I don't know, it's 10 or 12 minutes long. Is that the actual beginning, you think, or just that you have of the documentary? Or,
well, we put that video together to be able to share a little bit about the documentary project, but the project of saving her home, so people knew, if they were giving money to the Cindy Walker Foundation, what it's for and what it's going for. I introduced kind of who I am, what, you know, my role in the whole project, but yeah, it's a little sneak peek into what the documentary is going to look like and feel like and that sort of thing.
Well, let's play a little snippet of that, and then we'll post the entire thing. The entire production, I should say, not a thing, at kokefm.com. Can we do that, Haven? Both play it now, or part of it now?
Yeah, absolutely.
And post in its entirety on our website.
Absolutely.
Here it is. Is that her actual piano being played?
Yeah.
So first, yeah, just tell me who Cindy was to you.
She was just made to do it. You know, she had an incredible gift to see the world that way, you know, which is what the songwriters do. And it just amazes me the breadth of what she's done. The songs go from A to Z. And as I tell people, any songwriter, I said, Cindy Walker's songs can be done in any style, and that's the mark of a great song.
And so one day, see, I wrote all the time. I still write every day. I was up in my little studio that I took you to, you know. And I was just sitting there. And so all of a sudden, here comes this song. And I says, what is that? You give your hand to me, and you say hello. And I'm listening, and it says, and I can hardly speak. I'm telling you, it's like it was. I hope you believe me.
Of course I do.
It still touches me.
It's a beautiful song.
You know, that seed that she planted, it has that ripple effect.
And I love that she broke that barrier. I mean, I can't think of another female writer from that earlier than her.
Who is this?
And that really helped.
Lindsay.
That's Lindsay.
A lot of doors.
No. That's Jamie Lynn Wilson.
Jamie Lynn
Wilson. The rest of us.
For Cindy to make it into the Country Music Hall of Fame is very difficult as a songwriter. And, you know, that speaks volumes with her success and her impact in country music.
Is that Mitch?
Yeah, Mitch
Ballard.
Mitch Ballard,
BMI.
And here's her famous speech.
Thank you so much. It's a wonderful thrill to be in Nashville and to be here on the stage. And I thank you so much. And I thank everybody that's ever sung a song of mine or liked it. It's wonderful to know. But I'd like to read you a little poem that I wrote. It's true. And it's, if you don't mind, I'll read it to you. In the 1980s, my mother bought me a dress for a BMI affair. And she said, when they put you in the Hall of Fame, that's the dress I want you to wear. And I said, oh, Mama, the Hall of Fame, why, that will never be. And the years went by, but my mother's words remained in my memory. And I know tonight she'd be happy, though she's gone now to her rest. But I think of all that she did for me, and tonight I'm wearing this dress.
Her induction speech into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1997, and she died, Lindsay, in I think 06.
Yeah, 16 years ago today.
And she was 87.
And she's buried there in Mahia. Her grave has this huge guitar granite marker. It's beautiful. And I
good.
Just, you know what's so crazy is all the awards that she would win over the years, she kept under her bed. Because she wasn't a bragging person. I mean, and I wouldn't even consider that bragging if you had your award out, you know, on the table or in a cabinet. But she truly was a small town Texas girl with international talent, worldwide talent. But she never lost kind of that true compass.
Kept it under
her.
The bed.
Yeah. Reminds Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Reminds me of Coach Darryl Royal. And it was raining one Christmas Eve. One of the great stories from his neighbor. And the neighbor had a big, I don't know, it may have been a piano or something. It was going to be the gift. And he needed Coach Royal's help to move it, to put under the tree. Like, you know, Santa Claus brought it. And it had been raining really hard and it was all muddy. And Coach went to the garage and just got a bunch of boxes and all the plaques he'd won. And he just threw them down in the mud so they could walk on it.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
Need a little more she of that kept these
it,
days.
She kept it under the bed.
Yeah. Kept it all under the bed. And in her home, to be honest, what really moved me to take action was when I stepped foot onto the property, it has a feeling to it. You know, you don't just write these songs. And I encourage anyone who doesn't know who Cindy Walker is, look her up. I mean, at least 75 artists covered You Don't Know Me alone, just that one song alone. But when you step onto the property, it's a sacred place. It deserves to be preserved so that, you know, my daughter, my sons can go there and see this wonderful person that did this thing from Mahia, Texas, of all places, you know?
Wow. Lindsay Lipman, our guest. We're talking about the great Cindy Walker and why we all should know who she is, was, and still contributes even after death. And maybe we'll get to how you can contribute as well if you see the same passion or feel some of that Lindsay doing such a great job of conveying. But the best is yet to come as we listen to some of the snippets of the songs you're going to know in most cases that she wrote. Hang on, that's coming up next. Quick break. It is 8:35, and this is Coke FM.
Mornings, Austin, Texas country.
Good morning.
Coke FM.
8:41, Coke in the morning. She's the host of Texas Voices, TV celebrity, and of course, hometown of Mahia, Lindsay Littman, on the program with us today, talking about Cindy Walker.
Let's talk about Mahia for just a second, if you don't mind. We were talking about how a lot of people that are around here, you know, they see it M-E-X-I-A and don't say it right. But it's my
Don't tell me. Are you going to tell the Dairy Queen joke?
Well, you know what, Eric, don't and I it. Want you to tell that. No. But no, it's my understanding that if you're a local, it's pronounced Mahair. Is that right?
No, I
mean, I hear that a lot. People from Mahair, they say, well, it's really Mahair.
They say a lot. They also call Teague Tig, okay? So...
Is it Toe Texas or Tao? You know?
Right.
Tao.
Oh, Mahia. Yeah, and that's right. And it's so funny because when I started this, and this is why I have a lot of support in town, I was Miss MHS 1999. That's you're right. Cute. So I'm going to get this done.
Is that a disease? Were you a poster child? I mean, you were Miss what?
Miss Mahia High School 1999.
MHMS.
Hey, I'm very proud of that title. In fact, I should probably include it on my resume. I got a full spread in the yearbook.
Really?
Oh, really?
Where's that at?
It basically meant I was
the center?
Right, I was the
Sorry, Kyle.
Oh, that's hilarious. I was basically the class president, the student, you know, the head cheerleader, the all of it. And so now here I am, you know, but it's my way of giving back to my town. A lot of my friends stayed in Mahia, you know, and I left and, you know, chased this journalism career and came back here to Austin where my mom lives. So my mom moved out of Mahia when I was in college, but it has my heart, and that's why Cindy Walker lived there. You know, it's like, it's the kind of town where everybody knows you, which is good and bad sometimes. But like a lot of towns, you know, a lot of these places, they'll have, you know, a festival or claims to fame, and Mahia just really hasn't been able to have Cindy's legacy as something that other people, when they come through town, they know about. I mean, you would never even know where she lives unless you're a local and you knew where she lived.
Her lifetime home can, under your plan with the foundation, become the Cindy Walker Museum.
Right. And don't think I didn't get on the, I mean, I used my journalism skills to investigate, okay, who owns it now? What's going on? I tracked him down and I got on the phone and he gave me a first dollar price of purchasing the home that I said, lower your expectations. So we've settled on.
It's a shanty in Mahia, my friend.
It's worth the difficulty here is that the home is going to require so much restoration that it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to complete this project. It's worth every penny of that. But buying and purchasing the property in and of itself, it's really just worth the land that it's on. So we're looking at $20,000 to purchase the home. And then we're looking at several hundred thousand. We'll be applying to grants. In fact, even the Grammy Foundation has a grant for just this sort of thing. So we'll be applying for all of that as well. But it really will. I told people in town, and you know, I'm on the front page of the Mahia News today. It used to be the Mahia Daily News. Now it's just the Mahia News. It's not daily. they don't have a big news cycle there in Mahia. You know, on the front page, I'm really putting myself out there to try to get this done. And I just told everybody in town, hey, y'all got to get on this train, too, to have this happen. It can't be a one person, you know, who now lives in Austin type of thing. Like, we've got to band together to get this done.
I hear the dedication. It is amazing. Some of her songs, we're going to do some snippets now. What do we have first that we put together yesterday?
Oh, we have a whole bunch. We could do some Willie. This is one of my favorite Willie songs that I didn't know was written by Cindy.
Now, before you do, Lindsay, Willie put out an album several years ago.
Right. It released, I want to say, a few months after her passing. And we've been working those channels to get in touch with Willie about the project. You know, because of COVID, it's a little bit more difficult to get in touch with him and his team. But because we're pretty sure he'd be interested in what we're trying to accomplish. But
what was the name of that album?
It was You Don't Know Me.
You Don't
Songs
Know Me
by Cindy Walker.
The songs of Cindy Walker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Willie does them all on there, right?
And they're beautiful. They're so beautiful. Yeah, there were so many artists that just respected what she was able to do with her writing. It was always a story. Like, she tells a story, which not a lot of songwriters these days do within a song, you know. And like we mentioned before, she was able to put herself in other people's shoes, but across all genres. You heard Ray say before the break that really her music could be done in all different styles. She's in the Country Music Hall of Fame, but you know what? I will say it. She could be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, she wrote songs that Elvis Presley and Roy Orbison and all kinds of artists recorded.
As you're about to hear. So the Willie song you've got there, Haley.
I picked Sugar Moon. It's a little more fun. It's, you know, it's got a swing sound to it. But obviously there's a whole album to be.
And so some of her first early songwriting success was with and for Bob Wills.
When it's sugar cane time, all around about June, I'll be walking with sugar neath that old sugar moon. Gonna drop her a line to expect me soon. Say I'm craving some sugar neath that old sugar moon. I can see her right now. She'll get the calendar down, scratch a circle around the day we're altar bound. When it's sugar cane time.
And speaking of Bob Wills songs, a nice snippet there. What version did I choose on Cherokee Maiden?
We've got Bob Wills, yeah.
Let's go for that.
We started the day with Bob Wills.
And Bubbles in the Beer. It's Bob Wills and the original version of Cherokee Maiden. Well, Bob just basically stood there and made comments. You knew that, right?
Oh, hey, Eric, that was good.
Yeah, that was Eric and I at the same time.
In unison.
Play it now, Leon. Cindy Walker wrote it. That's Bob Wills in the original recording. Let's do the Roy Orbison big one. She wrote Dream Baby, that was a hit actually for several folks, but I think most folks would recognize this one. Must I dream?
Dream Baby got me dreaming sweet dreams the whole day through. Dream Baby got me dreaming sweet dreams nighttime.
She tells an incredible story about this song, about writing that song. When she was there in Mahia with her mom, she had two, and you know, she used to record her demos on these reel-to-reels, and she would have the reel-to-reels and just send them in the mail. And so she wanted to send some songs to Roy Orbison because he was hot, and she wanted him to record one of her songs.
Really?
She had two of the songs in the mail, and her mama was looking at it. She said, okay, mama, Ori says, why don't you put Dream Baby in there? And Cindy said, I just don't know, Mama. It's redundant. Dream baby, dreamed it.
Between that and the dress, she should have listened to Mama more.
Well, Mama says, Ori says, if you don't put dream baby in there, then you got nothing to send. And so she puts it in there, and then the rest is history. But it's just incredible to me, you know. She didn't really think the song kind of lived up to her writing potential, and yet it's a hit, you know.
Wow, how about that? Well, and a lot of the great songs that way, you know. You look at Patsy Cline and the songs she hated and did not want to sing, and you know, would have to be kind of tricked into singing it, and those end up being her biggest hits. How about the Mickey Gilley? The Mickey Gilley, a Cindy Walker composition, You Don't Know Me.
Let me give me 1 second on that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. We thought that was already my fault. Okay.
No. I'll be quick, hopefully.
You Don't Know Me. In fact, we were... For some reason, we played a snippet of that about a week or two ago.
That you might love me too. You give your hand to me. And then you say goodbye. I watch you walk away beside that lucky guy. You'll never, never know the one that loves you so. No, you don't know me.
Now, you know, the interesting thing, kind of the real headline here, is she gave all her royalties to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Oh.
So that was a little surprising. The family's not salty about it. They just kind of were like, okay, well, you know, Cindy decided to will all her royalties to the Country Music Hall of Fame. And I think the calculations, according to some newspapers there in Nashville, is that over about the last 20 years or so, they've gotten about $2 million from that. To
Well, they ought to be contributing to your foundation. Yeah. I mean,
well, they ought to.
I mean,
right?
not in an extortion sense, but
no, if
because
they were,
Cindy obviously right. felt like this music community has been so good to me that I'm going to take everything it's meant to me after I'm gone and make sure you have it to perpetuate it. And right. what could be a better exhibit of that than the foundation that you have put together?
Well, it really was unprecedented at the time when she gave her royalties to the Country Music Hall of Fame. And they are supportive of the project. And so we're in talks with them. They have all the information of what we're trying to do and the educational and awareness purposes of it. And all of that. And this is a practical application of trying to save history. I mean, this is a home that if we don't save it, it's gone. I mean, period.
It's Lindsay Lippman, by the way, if you just tuned in. Big Central Texas TV personality for a lot of years, now working here, actually, particularly on the weekend, hosting radio music shows here at Coke FM over the air. So you'll be hearing her if you haven't already. But this exciting thing we learned about that she's involved with. We've been doing this hour. Lindsay, I read that yesterday that they don't know how many, but it's at least 500 songs they believe she wrote.
Yeah, I asked her niece just last week. There are 500 published.
Oh.
But beyond that, even more. I mean,
she just never submitted.
Right. She was writing even every day up until the end.
We heard earlier, if you were with us, how songs would come to her.
Right.
She would hear... somebody was speaking to her, she was saying.
It's almost like, in Leroy Parnell and I had a conversation about this. You know, he's very existential.
He is.
And
he's
I like to get a little woo-woo sometimes, too. But we talked about how really she felt like the songs were from another place that came through her, and she just kind of was the one who was able to kind of channel them and put them. I mean, it's almost...
That happens to me when I'm drinking.
Yeah.
I can relate.
Which Mitch, is why we should drink more, right?
You know, Mitch from BMI, we were talking about him earlier. I actually heard him, but he just sent a text and said, you do know that she's been played on radio more than 6 million times. That's a lot.
Yeah. You know, we should have had Mitch on the program today. He, thankfully, you know, he grew up in Fairfield, and for people who don't know Mitch, he...
She was a BMI
Yeah, she
writer.
Was a BMI.
Well, then Mitch and BMI have got to give you a bunch of money, too.
Oh, well, they have. I think that's a great idea.
Wow.
No, Mitch has been instrumental in this project, and I even invited him on the board. He hadn't said yes yet. But we'd
didn't
love,
say no, though.
Yeah, he didn't say no. His support has been crucial to this. In fact, he's the one who put me in touch with Ray Benson and everybody like that, and so because he's a big Western swing fan too. In Western swing in general, I mean, that wasn't the only type of music she wrote, but that community.
Oh, not at all.
They're very supportive of what's going on. In fact, Carolyn Wills was one of the first phone calls I made because I'm very old fashioned in a lot of ways.
Carolyn is his daughter.
Bob Wills' daughter.
Daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was not.
Hey, Eric, she said Wills's.
Wills's, all right. Is that Wills? Oh, I'm sorry.
Just don't say Texas's.
Listen, I am still from Mahia, okay? Did you not forget?
I love that.
MHS 99.
Dairy Queen.
Oh, don't get me laughing in here. Oh, yeah, maybe you should be on the board, Bob, while I'm asking for chicks and help over here.
If you want a guy that doesn't come to any meetings, I'm your guy.
There we go. But anyways, I had reached out. Well, first I said to the family, if you don't give me your blessing, I just won't tell the story. I won't do anything unless I have the family's blessing. And they said yes to the documentary. They said yes, let's do the foundation. So,
did you know, by the way, because I've talked to people that have undertaken documentary projects, like the one that I guess Joe Nick tried to do, Joe Nick Patowski, on Doug Somm. And when they found out how much money you have to pay
for the licensing,
the license to put the music, you got to have the music in the document. It is so outrageous that it was prohibitive.
Well, the same thing with the Guy Clark documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I think she ended up paying, did Tamara end up paying like $150,000 or more for licensing on that? And
that's just initially.
Right. And we will, you know, we will cross that bridge. I'm one of those people that I'm like, let's get to step A and then we'll talk about step B. It's going to take, I mean, our budget for the film is going to probably near $500,000. Definitely. I mean, that's just how much these things cost to make. But my goal initially is that $20,000 to get the house first in the foundation's
just
name.
Just 20.
To get the house, and I probably shouldn't put that out there.
Should. No, I started to ask you earlier, and I said, well, there must be a reason you're not saying it, and out of respect, I didn't ask. But I like the fact that it's an achievable number.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's doable. And we have had some people just write us a check. So right now, of the 20 goal, we have raised $2,400. So $2,400 is what we have. So really, we've got what? I mean, don't make me do the math, but we've got
a little over 10%.
Right, about 18,000.
I'm glad Bob stepped up there. I was like, I'm out.
And I may be wrong, but I think
and I went to Belton.
but honestly, you know, this Western swing community. Carolyn Wills was on the phone with me, you know, talking about how many people, you know, just the ins and outs of all of this. Because I'm a journalist and a broadcaster. I'm not a nonprofit guru, but I care enough about this. And really, I think passion and caring about something will take you much further than maybe any formal education on these things.
You are selling it just by talking. It's just I'm in. Look, how can folks donate before we get back to a couple more songs?
Well, number one, just go to the Cindy Walker Foundation on Facebook. You'll find our Facebook page. It's very easy. We're also on Instagram. Give us a follow and share. When we make posts, share that. That's valuable. And if you'd like to give money, we do have an easy GoFundMe page where you can donate. You can either go to GoFundMe and search Cindy Walker, or you can go to our Facebook page. We'll have our website up pretty soon and all of those type of things, the website for the foundation as well as the website for the film, because these projects are all happening congruently. And then also an annual Cindy Walker Days is our ultimate goal to happen in Mahia, just like they
like
have.
The Bob Wills Days in Turkey.
Exactly. Which
Turkey,
is
Texas.
Coming up next month, and I plan to go to that next month. But same thing. We'll be doing that for the Cindy Walker Days, and that's really where I got to go get those, as they call it, heads and beds money from the city of Mahia, because they don't have much tourism, and they do have some infrastructure there at this point, a lot more than when I was growing up. They've got a couple of nice little hotels and those type of things. So just trying to do something worthwhile.
How far is this home from the Dairy Queen?
Dairy Queen shut down in Mahia. We couldn't even keep a Dairy Queen open.
Oh. Wow.
Isn't that sad?
You don't have a Sonic or something
was,
now?
Was yeah, it like a Sonic. Victim of the pandemic or before that?
I don't know if it, you know, I saw an article in Texas Monthly how a lot of Dairy Queens across the state had been shutting down.
I think
it was part of that. But, you know, my uncle used to own a bunch of Dairy Queens in East Texas, and he used to give me those free coins.
Are you related to Dale Dudley?
No.
Because his dad owned several. Anyway, go ahead.
No, Mark Lipman is my uncle, and he, anyways, he used to give me those free passes to Dairy Queen, and the joke was that I ate so much free ice cream there that they had to close the doors because they said, oh, God, here comes Lindsay again with those free coupons.
Well, we are going to, just as soon as the program is over in a little while, put up the video that you do have together that we play part of, and we'll also have a link there to the Facebook page for the Cindy Walker Foundation for those that want to be a part of this project one way or another. Get to know Lindsay. She's obviously a delight. And some of the other songs, just so, again, folks will know, and there's so many, you know, with over 500 that we know of. This is a song maybe back in the weeds for a lot of people. I always loved this by a guy named Jerry Wallace. But a lot of people recorded this and did pretty well with it, including Dean Martin. It's called In the Misty Moonlight. By the flickering firelight, any place is all right. Long as I'm with you, Cindy Walker wrote.
In the misty moonlight,
Dino.
By the flickering firelight, any place is all right. Long as I'm with you,
as long as I'm with you.
In a faraway land, on the tropic sea sand, if your hand's in my hand, I won't be blue. Way up on a mountain,
way down in the valley,
way down in the valley,
I know I'll be
happy
any place,
anywhere.
I don't care.
I don't care. In the misty moonlight, by the flickering firelight, any place is all right, long as you are there.
And one of her more recent ones before her death, the Ricky Skaggs big hit, I Don't Care. Remember that one? Well, I don't care. We have that one.
No, I don't care if I'm not the first one you've kissed. Darling, I'll never ask. Yesterday's gone. Love me from now on. Be true to me. Forget about the past. No, I don't care if I'm not the first love you've long. Just so I'll be the last.
She had a way. What would you say was her most recorded or best known song, Lindsay?
I mean, I definitely You Don't Know Me.
Yeah, which a lot of folks think if you try to look it up that it's No, comma, You Don't Know Me, but it isn't. It'll help you find it. You Don't Know Me, what version would you guess?
Oh, I mean, I would say Ray Charles.
Which we
don't you think?
We played a little bit of that about an hour ago. Let's do that again. As I read about her yesterday, it looked like one that I don't remember that well. I do remember it. When My Blue Moon Turns to Gold was just huge for her. But for some reason, that doesn't seem to have stood the test of time like so many others.
You Don't Know Me has become a standard. I like Dusty Skies, she wrote when she was 12. And then Lone Star Trail was her first hit with Bing Crosby. And then she wrote for Gene Autry. And did you know, I learned this. This was so interesting to me. She was in a film with Billy Graham and wrote the entire score and all the original music.
Really?
Gospel country songs for that film. And they were lifelong friends. Her niece told me last week about how, you know, at one point they had a lunch with Billy Graham, and she thought, how does Aunt Cindy know Billy Graham? You know, she and the gospel side of things also, you know, when we end up having our Cindy Walker days, I would love to do a gospel brunch or that sort of thing, because it was her grandfather who was a hymnal composer. And so that musical, you know, gene was in the family, although Jerry says her niece said it skipped her. Mm-hmm. But she did have that musical background there, specifically through, you know, hymn music and gospel music and all of that.
Spirituals.
Yeah.
How about that? Let's do the Ray Charles, a little bit of that, and a snippet of perhaps her biggest all-time song.
The one who loved you so. Well, you don't know me.
For I never knew the art of making love. For my heart aches with love.
So she was a devout Christian and very proper.
And only and married she wrote, once. And she was married once, you know, Bob.
Yeah.
Briefly. A brief marriage.
Was Walker her name or
yes.
his?
Walker. Okay. Walker's the family name, and it's very mysterious. Her family doesn't even know who it was. Her surviving family doesn't know who it was that she was briefly married to.
It's interesting with her more fundamentalist convictions that you've shared with us, that she wrote that line we just heard. I never knew the art of making love.
Well, there were some other songs that she wrote specifically for
Lil Edgy?
For Bob Wills that she didn't put her name on. Well,
did she write Big Boss and Countdown?
I don't think so. But, you know, Leroy Parnell had the name of a few songs that he knows for a fact Cindy Walker wrote and didn't and declined to put her name on them.
Well, I'll be darned. No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. How about one more? Maybe two more. Jim Reeves and Distant Drums. Remember that one? The starts out with real low drums and then the satin vocal chords of Jim Reeves.
I hear the sound of distant drums.
Cindy Walker wrote it.
Far away. Far away, and if they call for me to come, then I must go, and you must stay.
There you go. Do we have, I wrote it down, but I don't know if we've pulled her up, Haven. That one about when my blue moon turns to gold again.
Now, her favorite song was China Doll.
Do we
I don't know if you can write a song like that these days.
How's that go? Let's find that China Doll.
China Doll was her favorite song. She went up to Nashville in 97 to accept the Country Music Hall of Fame induction. She sat down with TNN at the time. They called themselves TNN. Remember that?
The Nashville Network.
Yeah, and so they did a great piece with her where they interviewed her, and she explained that China Doll was her favorite song she had ever written, which I thought was interesting, but she said she did not think it was her best song or that she had even written her best song yet.
Which artist...
I have no idea.
What are the options on it?
I should know, shouldn't I, Haven, since I'm doing the documentary?
I mean, the Grateful Dead comes up. I wouldn't imagine.
I don't think. No,
that
no,
might
no,
be
no.
a different song.
Yeah, exactly. Gary Clark Jr.
I mean, it might very, actually well, be. It might actually be recorded because she had her own Words and Music by Cindy Walker album that you can listen to right now on Spotify. It might be on there. I mean, As I research more, I admire her even more. And I think it's important for those Texas country music fans that are out there, or just, you know, America, like Americana music fans, to know that, this songwriter, you know, was building blocks for all of the music that you enjoy today, specifically for folks like point. Miranda, Dolly even. I dare to say they stand on the shoulders of Cyndi Walker. She wasn't intimidated by anybody. She, you know, she was able to be successful in a male dominated industry and didn't care, you know, because she had the goods. She had, you know, the talent to do it, and people respected her for that, I'd say,
yeah. What have you found, Haven?
Sam Whitman.
Let's try it.
All right, let's do it.
I'm tired of crying.
The Slim Whitman?
Sound like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I misread it completely.
Yeah, that's Slim Whitman.
Trying to find a country version.
Now on KTEL Records. Remember that? All right, so last one.
But like I said, I don't think you could write a song like that these days. I think that'd get you canceled real quick.
My Little China Doll, darling. Sugar Bridges. So Cyndi actually sang too some, huh?
Yeah, and her voice. In fact, in the video, I included a song where she loved her garden. She loved the trees surrounding her home. And those, you know, those trees are still standing there. And it was a song about the wind. Your love is like the wind and I'm the tree. You know, so your love comes and goes. And that's the way she wrote those songs. And it's beautifully sang. Is that the right term? Sang?
Sung.
In her own voice, you can really hear it. I mean, she had a beautiful voice.
Well, do we have You Don't Know Me by Cyndi Walker?
We do.
I thought so, yeah. Let's close with that one. Cyndi actually singing from the... What was the name of that album that she had?
Words and Music by Cyndi Walker.
Cyndi Walker.
You give your hand to me.
Wow. Never heard.
And then you say hello. And I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so. And anyone could tell. You think you know me well.
Oh my gosh, she was really good.
But you don't know me. No, you don't know the one.
Kind of Patsy Cline-like, right? Huh? You hear it?
Yeah.
Production as well. But.
And longs to kiss your lips. And longs to hold you tight. To you I'm just a friend. That's all I've ever been, but you don't know me.
Well, I hope you've been with us most of this hour, a full more than an hour now, and agree that my premise here, that we all should know and preserve the history as Lindsay Lippman is undertaking and has felt the calling to do, of Cyndi Walker and the right way to do it. And again, in short order, give us 45 minutes or so. That video up at CokeFM.com and the link to the Facebook page where you can get a hold of Lindsay and tell her what you want to tell her, or get the how you're going to get a check to her, maybe. Let's get that house bought for $20,000. That is just that'll be a remarkable first step, I think, that would bring you a lot of momentum. Okay, we got the house. Here's what we need to do. Here's the museum. Here are the renovations. And be able to shop that thing around. Mitch said he's good for, what, $20,000, didn't he?
At least. Yeah. Maybe Kangaroo can give us a new roof. We're going to need one.
There you go. We'll get those GAF solar shingles on there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, also, Bob, just real quick, we also want to do a songwriter residency there. So we're talking about just this project, the scope of it. It's going to take
It'll be a laboratory,
community.
Basically. A music laboratory. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she would... Maybe just if somebody came through her with the words, you're the angel for she's going to, you know, work through you.
Yeah, and you know, I've found myself in that position. Brendan Anthony over at Texas Music Office, you doubt yourself. You know, as a creative, you go like, "What? Should I really be doing this?" And Brendan Anthony said, "It's you. You're the one. You've got to tell the story." And so I'm willing to do the work. Well, I'm not afraid of a little hard work. So.
This nice, friendly guy that I've met several times, it's your fiancé. Has he got any money?
I don't know. He's at least going to pay for lunch.
That's a start. Lindsay Lippman, when do we hear you on the air here this weekend?
I'm in the witness protection program, so you'll hear me from 8.
She's on every night, Bob.
With Scotty. Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I've got
every night.
I've got my Lindsay Unscripted little segment because Rita wouldn't do it anymore, so I got put in the hot seat. So I've got my little Lindsay Unscripted thing that airs weeknights with Scotty Bennett at 7:30.
That's at 7:30. Okay.
Yeah, and then Sundays from 8 p.m. to midnight. You'll hear me.
Eric can't get you a better shift.
Come on, Eric.
She wants to do mornings, Bob.
Yeah. Hey, I'll be here tomorrow morning, bright and early, if you
don't
want me.
Don't say it if you don't mean it.
No, but I've enjoyed it, and I appreciate your time.
We've enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing on this special day, which is the anniversary of her passing. What'd you say, 16 years ago?
16 years ago, so it's time to do this, you know.
We've learned about Cindy Walker and just scratched the surface. And Scotty Bennett says, you buy that house for $20,000, move it to Austin, it'll be worth $1 million overnight. You'll have your money. Boy, is that
sounds
right.
Sounds like a plan.
9:17, quick break. Be back on the other side. Coke FM. Thank you, Lindsay.